Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW-FM Local News. I'm Michael Mackey. Sag Harbor's Bay Street Theater has ditched plans to build on property it acquired in 2020 following the implementation of new zoning restrictions and community pushback on their expansion design, theater officials say. Joe Werkmeister reports on Newsday.com that now they're selling the property at 22 Long Island Avenue, listed for $25 million, after nixing plans to build an expanded theater at the site overlooking Sag Harbor Cove and John Steinbeck Waterfront Park. For now, the theater will remain in the location where it opened more than three decades ago, with its lease extended through 2027. The 299-seat theater is a cultural and community center for the village of Sag Harbor and long ago outgrew the current space it rents at 1 Bay Street, Executive Director Tracy Mitchell said in a Newsday interview. But Adam Potter, the chairman of Friends of Bay Street, a nonprofit set up to buy and build a new theater, said in a statement that the acquired property was no longer viable to build a theater as originally envisioned. Mitchell said the Friends of Bay Street paid just over $13 million in 2020 for the property, but did not have more funds on top of that for construction. In the meantime, the village of Sag Harbor implemented a waterfront overlay district to control development in response to proposed waterfront condominiums. Then, when theater officials released an initial rendering of its proposed expansion, it was considered too large for what the village wanted, said Mitchell, who added that she thought the plans were beautiful. She said theater officials tried every which way but couldn't come up with a plan that fit into the overlay district. Mayor James LaRocca said the theater never submitted concrete plans. The historic movie theater in Greenport, Long Island, the beloved multiplex on East Front Street, built as a movie palace in 1939, is being offered for sale or long-term lease. It is listed for $5.5 million. Rachel Weiss reports on Newsday.com that John Epperson, an architect known for designing more than 500 cinemas, mapped out the Greenport Theater. It was built by Prudential Theaters, replacing a movie palace that had been destroyed by the September 1938 hurricane. At approximately 16,000 square feet, the 632-seat theater contains a ticket booth, cafe, two upgraded bathrooms, and four screens. There are three screens on the first floor and a fourth on the second level, which shares its auditorium with a stage. "We attempted to serve everyone," said owner Josh Sapin, former CEO of AMC Networks, "with an independent film in the smallest room, a family or mainstream film in the biggest room, then a mix in the other two theaters." Under Sapin's ownership, a 23-foot neon sign that says "Greenport" graced the front of the theater. "We tried to honor the architectural past," he said. OLA of Eastern Long Island will hold a free bilingual educational workshop for local parents, helping your teenager to thrive, this evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Bridgehampton Community House, 2368 Montauk Highway in Bridgehampton. The event is open to English-speaking and Spanish-speaking parents. Parents can call area code 631-899-3441 to register. That's 631-899-3441. Two-time National Book Award finalist Patricia McCormick is the featured guest speaker, organized by eight local youth leaders ages 13 to 21 in collaboration with OLA's Youth Connect staff. The event will provide parents the opportunity to discuss concerns and challenges they may be experiencing with their teenage family. Advocates for workers in the country illegally who lost their jobs during the pandemic gathered yesterday in Patchogue to launch a campaign aimed at providing them access to unemployment benefits. They want the state to create a permanent unemployment insurance program for that group and others, including freelancers and self-employed workers who can't access the traditional unemployment system. Bart Jones reports on Newsday.com that the Unemployment Bridge Program would cost about $500 million a year, according to estimates by supporters who said they intend to seek backing from Long Island's contingent in the New York State Legislature. The state's temporary excluded workers fund in 2021 paid out $2.1 billion to day laborers, house cleaners, landscapers, childcare workers, and other people who were living in the country illegally but lost their jobs during the height of the pandemic, advocates said. But that fund was used up in about 2 months, they added, leaving many workers empty-handed and showing how badly something similar is needed permanently. The fund provided a total of $224 million to nearly 15,500 excluded workers on Long Island as the region struggled to recover from the pandemic shutdown, advocates said. Justin Henry, a spokesman for Governor Kathy Hochul, said in an email that she remains committed to supporting unemployed New Yorkers in their time of need. The state has paid out more than $105 billion in unemployment benefits since the start of the pandemic, and the governor has announced several new programs and resources, including the expansion of New York's Virtual Career Center and a record $150 million investment in workforce development. Hundreds of locations across the state have been shortlisted as potential sites for recreational pot shops, state officials say. Serena Trangle reports on Newsday.com that the real estate firm CBRE screened more than 10,000 sites, conducted evaluations of 2,300 properties, and is initiating negotiations with 350 property owners in anticipation of leasing sites. The Dormitory Authority of the State of New York, which is overseeing the process, said in a report. The state has so far issued licenses for 7 shops on Long Island. There are up to 20 conditional retail licenses available to businesses in Nassau and Suffolk. As part of New York State's social equity goals, the Public Construction Authority is propping up 150 conditional licensees, business owners who were convicted of or related to someone convicted of offenses under the old marijuana laws. These entrepreneurs could expect the state to sublease a storefront to them as well as provide a suite of wraparound capacity building services, according to an FAQ released by the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York. The New York State Legislature's LIPA Commission will hold a public hearing this coming Friday, January 20th at 11 a.m. at Southampton Town Hall. As reported on RiverheadLocal.com, the commission, formerly known as the Legislative Commission on the Future of the Long Island Power Authority, was established by state law last year to develop and present to the legislature an action plan for implementing a true public power model for residents of Long Island and the Rockaways. The goal is to save millions of dollars in annual management fees paid to an outside utility, establish greater transparency and clearer lines of accountability, and give LIPA's customers a greater say in how this electrical service is provided, according to the commission's website. For a state capital known for its dysfunction, the path to nominating the state's top judge has normally been a rare kumbaya-like exception. Not this year. Louis Ferré-Saturny reports in the New York Times that Governor Kathy Hochul's choice of Justice Hector de la Salle has led to a messy civil war among Democrats, with many left-leaning lawmakers in the New York State Senate opposing the choice because they believe his decisions reveal a moderate, if not conservative, stance on bellwether issues like unions and abortion access. The ugly fight is expected to come to a head today when Justice LaSalle comes before the Senate Judiciary Committee for a full hearing, the first time he will speak publicly since emerging as a political flashpoint in Albany. At the conclusion of this morning's hearing, the 19-member committee, made up mostly of Democrats, will determine whether to block or proceed with Justice LaSalle's nomination to the state's highest judicial post. The stakes are unusually high. The state Senate has never rejected a governor's pick for chief judge, who, in addition to leading the Court of Appeals, also runs the state's vast and complex court system. But Justice LaSalle, who would become the first Latino chief judge, faces an uphill climb. He is opposed by several unions, reproductive rights groups, and community organizations, and does not appear to have enough votes among Democrats who control the state Senate. Justice LaSalle's supporters have argued that his record has been misconstrued, that the cases which have been singled out have hinged on procedural questions and were decided by majority opinions that he did not write. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.